The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. That's a tough text. This morning's Bible reading, I mean. Oh, not so much in terms of what it means, or even in terms of preaching it, but in terms of believing it, accepting it. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Just think about that. They don't put that on recruitment posters, do they? And I'm glad they don't. Who in the world would ever come to the seminary if they thought that Jesus' description of beatings, betrayals, martyrdoms was going to apply to them? Nope, it's way too negative, especially in an era of sweetness and light. For us in modern society, life should be pain-free. Trouble kept to a minimum. Why, even in today's wars, casualties are unacceptable, so the ministry, for sure, ought to be safe and secure. And any thoughts of personal sacrifice or of enduring danger for a cause, even in the church, why, those thoughts just don't compute. We don't want to hear it. We don't want to listen. So let's go on to something else, shall we? But I guess we can't, at least not this morning, because it's right here in the Bible, read from the lectern. It's confronting us right now. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Now, of course, one way to get around this particular passage is simply to restrict its application. After all, this text has a particular context. Jesus is commissioning the 12, the apostles, not us. He's talking about Peter and John and maybe Paul, but not you or me. They're the ones who are dragged off to the councils. They're the ones beaten in the synagogues. They're the ones who witnessed before kings and governors. They are the ones who were put to death. Jesus is talking about them. Now this morning also we are remembering one of those first leaders, St. James, the brother of our Lord, first bishop of Jerusalem, probably the author of the epistle that bears his name. This text has been chosen to commemorate him, and it fits. He was a martyr. He was put to death, according to Eusebius, on account of his bold confession of Jesus Christ the Savior by being shoved off an elevation of the temple and then clubbed to death by the mob below. So Jesus' description is historically correct when applied to James and other leaders of the church. They were like sheep among wolves. But there's another application as well. Church history can offer other instances of martyrdom from different times and places, but persecution, including executions, is a recurring theme in the story of the church. There might even be some here this morning who remember in their own homelands when not too many years ago it was not safe to admit that you were a Christian. Indeed, there may be some here today for whom this is still true. People from places where talking about Jesus can get you into big trouble with the authorities. Oppression, imprisonment, even worse. So clearly in this text, Jesus is describing not only what occurred in the first century of the Christian era, but a recurring reality. And episodes of persecution punctuate the history of the Christian church. But is that all? In other words, do we have a text this morning that leads us to some places and some times, but not ours, to the story of some Christians, but not us? Well, a moment's reflection, I believe, will show us that Jesus' words have a universal application in addition to their obvious particular ones. Consider this question. From what does the persecution of the church proceed? Why is it that some, whether James the Just or the more numerous unnamed and unremembered martyrs of history, why is it that they have been put to death for their faith? Is it not because of the very nature of things, the way things really are in this world, the reality indeed of our own situation? For the universe is actually a battleground between God and the devil, between Christ and the powers of darkness, and we are right, well, I almost said right in the middle, but that's not correct, is it? There's no neutral ground upon which to stand in this battle. We are either on one side or the other. As Jesus said, we are either with him or against him. There is no middle ground. Now, of course, I know that this is not a very fashionable point of view. We might almost call it an archaic point of view. Post-Enlightenment men are extremely uncomfortable with the idea of Satan, demons, devils. And the result of that uncomfortable feeling is the fact that even in the face of the most unrelenting and unmitigated evil, people today refuse to acknowledge evil for what it is. Instead, we psychologize it, socialize it, even normalize it. Mass murderers are sick. Hate-filled gangs are victims of society. And sexual deviants, well, those are just alternative lifestyles. But if this is the way that we treat sin, of course we're not going to recognize the author of sin. Of course we're not going to talk about the devil. And yet, what does the Bible say? Jesus was tempted of the devil. St. Peter tells us that Satan roams about, seeking to devour us. And St. Paul reminds us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. So the real situation of the Christian at all times and all places, including right here and now, in spite of whatever blinkers we may be wearing, our real situation is that we are at the center of a battleground and that we are all combatants against the forces of hell. Is it any wonder then that Christians face persecution, that the faithful are mocked and ostracized, that the challenge of every Christian every day is faithfulness in the face of the assaults of the devil? Of course, these assaults are almost infinite in their variety. Sometimes they're frontal assaults, as for the martyrs, deny Christ or die. Other times they are so subtle that one hardly recognizes them. As, for example, the temptation to mute one's message, to soften it down, ostensibly for the sake of peace, love, reconciliation, getting along, but in reality, to deny the saving truth of the gospel. But whether those assaults are frontal or subtle, whether they're direct or indirect, they emanate from the same place. And so Jesus' word to the apostles applies also to us. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. But if that's the case, that our Lord is talking about us, how do we survive? How do sheep make it when they're surrounded by wolves? How do we remain faithful? Well, certainly not on our own. We all know that. But Jesus doesn't leave us on our own, does he? I am sending you out, he says, and then later he promises his Holy Spirit. So we are fighting in His cause. We are preaching His word. We are representing Him to the world. And although the assaults of the devil can easily take us down, they can never take Him down. His resurrection from the dead proved that once and for all. Therefore, just like James and the martyrs, in the midst of our own weakness, of our own failure and sin, we survive. And indeed, we triumph in the face of all satanic assaults against us, including death. We survive by relying upon the Lord. And indeed, in the final analysis, what matters is not whether we are faithful, but whether He is. And that, my friends in Christ, is a sure thing. So let Satan assault us with everything he's got. Let him do his worst. It doesn't matter. For in the end, the sheep, not the wolves, will win, because the sheep belong to Jesus. Amen. And now the peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.